Okay, good morning, everybody. All right. Glad the weather cooperated. Let us get down here today. All right. Well, let's see. I guess we'll start this morning, if you want to open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. You know, I know when I talk to folks, in the course of the normal daily routines, it's pretty obvious that many times, everyone's feeling kind of overwhelmed. Just a lot of things going on. It's just this world. The way that it is, there was a little discussion in our first hour. I mean, it's a lot of stuff wanting our attention, putting pressure on us, trying to distract us. Look here, look here. You got personal lives, professional lives, your work, all kinds of stuff. But one of the things that I really appreciate about the Lord, not only is the emphasis on, when it comes to even seeking the saving of the lost, is the emphasis in Scripture about the value of the one. You leave the 99 to go for the one. We know that God doesn't change the world. He changes individuals. We've quoted that before. I believe Psalms 33, verse 13. The Lord looks down from heaven, from his dwelling place, sees all the people, all the sons of men. It says he fashions their hearts individually. Individually. And he understands their ways. Just like, as Jeff was bringing out, and as we partake around the table, there's always the piece of bread and the fruit of the vine, small little cup, for the individuals. He died for us as individuals, not a group, not a mob, not a building full of people, not a nation of people. We are a holy nation, but he saves us as individuals. Now, as I was just saying, though, in our lives, as we make our sojourn through this world, we find ourselves totally sometimes overwhelmed. Now, if you really think about it, the reason why we get overwhelmed is because we take too much upon ourselves at one time. And we frustrate ourselves. We take on too much. I appreciate how the Lord, though, speaks to us about this, and he gets us to try to have a pinpoint focus. Look, if you get the Bible says 70 or 80, 80 years, that's all something that we accomplish second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. But the one thing about that, when a second is passed, it's gone. It's history. When a minute goes by, it's gone. An hour, you can't relive it. It's gone. If there was something that you needed to do in that moment, that minute, that hour, that day, and you let it get by, well, it's gone now. You're not going to be able to call that back. We don't get a do-over. If you didn't do it yesterday and it was supposed to be done, forget it. If you really think about it, when it's gone and it's gone, in a sense, that's some relief from some pressure. Yeah, you should have did it, but you didn't. But it's gone now. What are you going to worry about it for? It's gone. So if you've lived 50 years, guess what? That last 50 years is gone. You don't have to go back and accomplish something in that 50 years. If you didn't do it, well, don't worry about it. Really, what does the Bible say you got? You have the here and the now. You have today. Because the Bible also says you don't have tomorrow. You don't know what's on tomorrow, whether you have tomorrow or not. Well, if you don't have to worry about the past because it's gone, and you're told don't worry about tomorrow, what you're going to eat, drink, and put on, well, that really kind of narrows it right down to where you have maybe a chance to focus, to set your priority, and get her done. Today. Now, I'm just saying, I think in a way, if we look at that, that's kind of a relief. I don't have to worry about the past. And I really shouldn't be worrying about tomorrow because there's nothing I can do about it. And I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Let it go. So all I got to do is focus on the here and the now. Well, it's called today. Hebrews chapter 3. As the Holy Spirit says, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They've not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, Christian, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. While it's called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We only have today. We can make the most of it. We take too much upon ourselves. The minute you start to feel overwhelmed, guess what you can't focus on, what you're supposed to be. It's all flooded over with all this anxiety and stress and fretting and worrying about things you have no control over. You've heard the joke, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. You know, I think God's trying to help us here where we can focus. We only really have to focus on today. We need to exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's telling me this thing is going to be kind of intense even daily, but we can do it. We be well able, is what Caleb said about taking the land. We'd be able to do this. Let us go up at once. We don't have to take the land all in 5 minutes. One step at a time, one battle at a time. You know, if we can focus, we have a powerful, powerful mind God created. And he said, hey, a little bit of faith, even faith as small as a mustard seed, could move a mountain. And faith comes by hearing the word. We're powerful beings, is the point. Very powerful. All things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We got power for the day, man. I can't think of anything in one day that should be able to overwhelm us. We get overwhelmed when we take too much upon ourselves. We borrow from tomorrow, of which we do not even have all the information, so we stress out about how's that going to work out. I can't see the end of it. Of course you can't. You're not omniscient. We're not omniscient. God knows you don't have any idea. I'll tell you what, you don't even have any idea what's going to happen 1 second. How many of us have experienced the ringing of a phone? Easy. It was quiet 1 minute and the phone rang. And what happened when that phone rang? Your life just took a major turn, man. Never to be maybe the same again because the phone rang. That happens all the time. You have no idea. After I dropped off Phil and Sutton. What's Paula? At Grand Rapids Airport after family camp. I'm coming home, it's quiet, sun's coming up, peaceful morning. I'm passing the cornfields, lonely road, car sitting at a stop waiting for me to go by. Next thing I know, I'm buried in airbags. Smoke, I thought the car was on fire. I couldn't breathe, the things were squishing me. I thought, what happened? I don't know what that car was doing. I think they were looking on their phone. And after they got doing whatever they were doing, they stomped on the gas and didn't re-look again the other way. I had the right away, by the way. Good thing I'm a slow driver. Because I had no reaction time, and I T-boned that car, and five airbags about smothered me. Everything was fine in 1 second. It was, you know, totaled the car. You don't know what's on tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble, Jesus said. James 4, I guess, it's the next book over. Might as well just grab it. You know the verse. Maybe I even partly quoted it. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, come now, verse 13. You say, today or tomorrow we'll go in such a city, spend about a year there, buy, sell, make a profit. Whereas he said, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's just a vapor. Appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. He said, you ought to be saying, if the Lord wills, we'll do it. You know, me, Chad, and Marlo getting ready to go to Vietnam, God willing, on the 28th. You do have to look ahead to make certain plans, but we don't have to worry about it. The plan is, the proverb says, a man plans his way, but God directs his step. The plan is we'll leave on this date. We have a plane to catch. You know, you do have to buy tickets. That's why you can't do that in a moment. You have to buy the tickets in advance and box down a whole bunch of work on getting our itinerary and hotel reservations for where we'll be on certain days. That's just the general plan. I've done this enough times to know that what I thought might happen during the course of a trip for a couple weeks in some place, I had a pretty good idea. But guess what? I know a whole lot more about it when I get back. Things I didn't even know that we would experience. Or hassles even, delays or whatever. You know, that's all in the details. So, yes, we have to plan. You might have a calendar. You're supposed to get your hair cut on this day or get a doctor's appointment. That's okay. We're not saying that. But we should not be fretting and worrying about things that we have no idea what's going to happen or even if it's going to come to pass. So we say, if the Lord wills, it'll be done. And we'll go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, look, we're going to go through some stuff here for sure. But in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. We're getting older. That's just the way of all the earth. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. As the outward man decreases, the inward man increases. That's what the new birth is all about. You actually, you know, this is what the good news is all about. You don't have to just get older and older and realize the older I get, I'm just closer to the day I'm going to die. And that freaks out a lot of people because through fear of death, all their lifetime, they're subject to bondage. The Lord has come to set us free. He destroyed him that had the power of death, speaking of the devil, to set us free from that fear of death. That's what the whole, Jeff's doing a pretty good series, it sounds like, coming here for the hope of the resurrection. That's a big deal. Because man wants to live. God has put eternity in our hearts. It'd be nice to spend eternity in a good place instead of an eternity in a very ungood place, bad place. So even though our outward man is perishing, we're going through stuff, he said, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now think about that. The inward man is being renewed day by day. You know what? Sometimes you may think, you know, the days just kind of go by and maybe they just seem, you know, humdrum. I don't know. But you got to realize there's a dynamic that's at work. If you are in Christ, that new man has to be strengthened. It has to be fed by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God because it produces a transformation of the mind. Gives you a bigger picture. Remember what it is? I'm thinking John 16 and 12. Jesus tells the apostles at the end of his life, I mean, he's getting ready to wrap it up here. He's going back to the Father. That's how the next chapter, chapter 17, is going to start. Father, I'm coming home. I finished what you sent me down here to do. I've given them your word. I'm coming home. So he's getting ready to wrap it up. And what does he tell those guys that after 3 years of campfire, we'd call windshield time, campfire time, you know, walking down the road? What does he tell them? I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. What? He's still got many things to say to them, but he said, you can't bear it now. You don't have the capacity for what I got to tell you. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll open up the eyes of your understanding to know the length, the breadth, and the height, and the depth. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. A new creation in Christ Jesus has got some serious power, and that process is taking place day by day. If we focus on today, while we hear today, while it's called today, if we'll hear his voice, if we don't pay attention to that voice, we will be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness. Sin is like leaven. If you're not really paying attention to it, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, sin is deceitful because on the surface it doesn't seem so bad. We don't pay attention to it sometimes. We think, oh, well, that's not a big deal. Well, this won't matter. Well, if I don't do that, well, you know what? Yeah, I should probably, but, you know, I'll get to it. I'm talking about even spiritually, in the spiritual journey. You could have been a part of a study, could have been a part of this, a fellowship. You could have, you know, made that phone call. You knew that, well, I'll call Nora. That's okay. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to do it tomorrow. But what you got, what we all got to think about. I believe this. I honestly do believe this. That the spiritual benefit of half the things that we can get ourselves involved with in the Lord is cumulative. Cumulative. You can't do everything. You can't be a part of it all. That's for sure. He didn't expect you to do all of it. But how many times do we allow what might have been a real spiritual opportunity for us in our own personal growth and development, we let it slip by because, well, I got to go walk the dog. I need to do this first. Well, each one of us gets to set our own calendar, our own priorities. But I said when I began, I said, if you were supposed to maybe do that yesterday, forget it. Why? Yesterday's gone. You don't get to call it back. The last minute, even the last hour, the last day, the last year. If you didn't do it then, let it go, because it's gone. The Bible focuses our attention on the day. Daily exhorting one another. Daily. As the Holy Spirit says, today. What's it talking about here? It's not me that brings up the comparison of the Old and New Testament. It's the Scripture that does that. That context in Hebrews chapter 3 is God's people really missed it. Back in the Old Testament, when God was trying to bless them, they let that opportunity go right by them, because when they saw the blessing of the new abundant life that God was trying to take them to, they took one look at that objective and said, we be not able to do this, and they weren't going to do it. They rebelled against God, decided, let's get us a captain and go back to Egypt rather than go in and have to struggle to take this land against seven nations greater and mightier than we are. Only Joshua and Caleb believed that that was a blessing to be involved in taking that objective and taking that land, the land for milk and honey. The rest of them saw it as a curse. What a hassle. We don't feel like doing that. We'd be not able to do that. Let's go. I'm just saying. Why do you think the Holy Spirit uses that context to speak to the Christians? See, a lot of times, you know, maybe you've heard me say this before. I heard somebody say it on a tape one time. I don't remember. It wasn't even a Christian. Like, it was some sort of seminar thingy about why people, you know, you got a lot of those self-help things out there. But this, in fact, I think it was a lady. The point was, when you look at where you're at, you're not super happy about where you're at. But then you look and you see where you want to be or where you need to be, because that's, I need to be there. That's a good thing. You see that. You want that. And then the point was the distance between where you see you're at and where you need to be, the distance between the two is the risk you haven't taken yet. Risk? Risk? Jesus said, look, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, pilgrim. I've said before, that's going to send most people packing right there. Say, what? Deny myself? Then he says, and take up your cross. Because if you seek to save your life, as you know it, you're going to end up losing your life. But if you're willing to give up your life, for my sake in the gospel, you'll save your life. For what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would he give in exchange for his soul? That's what's at stake. That's what's sitting, holding it in the balance. Our souls. He said, what are you going to give for your soul? What happens if you lose your soul? You can't get it back. You lost forever. He said, look, if you're going to do this, you're going to follow me. This is what's required. That, you know, it's plan A, right? Plan A. There is no plan B. There's not another alternative. And if there was a plan B, it would say C, plan A. You've seen that before. There is no plan B. It's plan A. And this is what's required. And I tell folks, I said, you know what? This does not mean deny self, take up cross means you got to move somewhere. Quit your job. Go live under a bridge. Eat rats. No. You can keep your mailing address. You can generally live where you live. That whole journey of giving up your life to save your life is going to take place just north of the roof of your mouth and just behind your eyeballs. That's where it takes place. It's called the transformation of the renewing of the mind. That's the journey. We can do this. It's personal. No one else can be inside your head and renew your mind. That's a personal thing. It's supposed to be personal. And God helps us every step of the way. And again, going back to the focus here. You can't change the past. Don't worry about yesterday. It's gone. But don't worry about tomorrow, because you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day, Jesus said, is its own trouble. And there will be problems, but you know what? It's easier to focus if we keep everything bite-sized. Bite-sized. Deal with it. Whatever issues are you have to deal with them on a, you know, maybe it'll take a few days. Well, deal with it daily then. Paul says, continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he calls it light affliction. Say what? He just got done saying, if you're earlier in the chapter, I didn't want it necessarily. He said, look, we have a treasure in the earthen vessel. The treasure is we got power. We've got not only the word that produces the faith, but a Holy Spirit to carry out whatever the objective, whatever the challenge is that we have in our lives. It's a treasure in the earthen vessel. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's God working in you. Now, how's that going to fail? Oh, ye of little faith. How's that going to fail if the excellency of the power working in us is God and not of us? So Paul said, well, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested. Where? In our body, our mortal body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Imagine that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how is that going to fail? It can't fail unless we are, O ye of little faith. Little faith, little power. Big faith, big power. Our light affliction. Do you realize that's kind of like a blanket statement? Our light affliction? He just got done saying, hard pressed, perplexed, persecuted, piece of cake. Light affliction. You know, even though it could be pretty intense at times, you know what? If I only have to deal with it day by day. You know, I've heard this said, and I would guess it to be true. You know, you've heard me talk about some special forces types. Let's just say Navy SEALs. Guys that go through that, the pressure is so intense, but it's really mostly, it's mental. The pressure that people experience, or even whether it's in a prisoner of war camp. But some, eventually, they quit. They can quit by going up, there's a bell they can ring, set their helmet down, ring the bell, and walk away, no shame. Because it's that intense. But what some other guys have observed who are still in it and still pressing on, why did he quit? He got through yesterday. Yesterday was as bad as today. Why didn't he quit yesterday? And the day before that was just as intense. Why didn't he quit 2 days ago? Why did he quit today? He defeated himself in his own mind. They couldn't take it anymore. They couldn't take it anymore. See, and what they tell you to do is focus on the day. Now, gee whiz, if the Navy SEALs can figure that out, maybe we ought to pay attention. I think God was invented before the Navy SEALs were invented. It's God that tells you that. Deal with the day. Don't borrow from tomorrow. Don't go down there. Because see what ends up happening when you realize how intense this is and your hands start to hang down, the feeble knees start to give out. and you start to look at how long that road is. I know when I was in the Corps, man, and we were having to hump them hills, man, do you think you're going to throw up? One thing I didn't do was look up to see how far the top of that hill was. I was only looking down at the back of the feet of the guy struggling in front of me. I didn't want to look up to see how far the top of that hill was the way I was feeling, because I'd have probably wanted to quit. Like, there ain't no way we're getting up this thing, man. When you're humping this equipment, you're walking up fire breaks, man, soft sand. Whew. No. People self-defeat. Where they are and where they need to be, that distance is the risk they haven't taken yet, because they can see it's going to be rough. So they put it off, you know, yeah, I got to do that, man. Yeah, I'm working on that. Yeah, no, I know I got it, you know. But they never get going. Day by day, he said, it's light affliction, it's only momentary, it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things that are seen, don't look at that mountain. See yourself at the top. Don't look at all the things that will discourage you. Look, that's one thing about this. God said, you've never been this way before. He said, I will go before you. I will go before you. I'll make the darkness light. I'll make the crooked places straight. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. Don't take too much upon yourself. Enough, sufficient unto the day or its challenges. We don't look at those things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are only temporary anyway, but it's the thing which are not seen are eternal. Set your mind then, Paul said, on things above, not on things of the earth. That's what Scripture provides for us. If we do, our first hour, guys, we're looking at going to our lesson. James talks about, if you only look in the mirror, you know, at the Word, beholding is in the mirror, you look at the mirror, and then you walk away and forget what man, you know, being a forgetful hearer, you forget what manner of man you was when you was looking in that mirror. We have to internalize this stuff. The Word of God is designed to do that. We're able to take in this information, assimilate the information. We're able to get a bigger picture. What do we see? Victory. What do we see? The glory of the Lord. We see power. Joshua and Caleb looked at that objective, looked at the same thing the other spies looked at. They saw it as disaster. They saw defeat. They saw themselves killed and their women and children being victims. We'd not be able to do this. God brought us out here to kill us. Joshua and Caleb said, no, you're looking at it all wrong. God fights for us. These people's defenses are down. They're bread for us. We can consume them in a moment. Let's go up and take this land. God fights for us. You shut up or we're going to stone you. God's people did that. God's people did that. And what did it say? We didn't finish reading there in Hebrews chapter 3. But they died. They died in unbelief. Their carcasses were scattered all over that wilderness. Boy, that's a picture for you. Hebrews 4:11 says we need to be diligent then. Hebrews 4:11 says we got to be diligent to enter into that rest. Lest you fall, anyone fall according to what? Same example. Same example of what? Unbelief. That's still the context. Them not taking the land because they became discouraged. Hands hanging down, feeble knees about giving out. Didn't think they could do it, took too much, and just overwhelmed themselves and self-defeated. You know, these scriptures are meant to be encouraging, not discouraging. But I know because I listen. And plus, I've had to be on this road myself now for some 40 years. I got a little bit of an idea how it works. I've spent plenty of time by myself, out back, walking around, thinking, meditating in all kinds of different places, that I get some quiet time. And I covet that quiet time to meditate on these things so I might give myself wholly to it, that my profiting would appear to all. That's what we're supposed to do. But I listen to people, and I can tell by what they say, they're overwhelming themselves with all the stuff going on, internal, external, till pretty soon you're not focusing on how to even get through the day, man. You just want God to make it all stop and make it all go away. And that is not what this is about. It's in the world we'll have tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, and so will you. We are overcomers, not avoiders. Cross that no man's land, that 1,000 meters from where you are to where you need to be. The Cubans were doing it when I was down there. There was 1,000 meters of no man's land between the Cuban fence line where the Cuban army was and our fence line at Guantanamo Bay. And people trying to go for freedom in the USA, they could see that searchlight or that light at the Naval Air Station in Guantanamo Bay at the air base. They could see that searchlight from miles away, and they were trying to get to that light. Then they would have to cross 1,000 meters of no man's land that was mined by the Soviet Union, unbeknownst to most of them people that tried to do it. Wasn't a very good minefield, but hey, if you're going to cross that field out there and somebody told you there was 5 landmines out there, wouldn't that give you a sense of, wait a minute, because you don't know where they're at? Our minefield was real good. You weren't going to cross our minefields. They were all mapped out, put in by the minefield maintenance engineers. That Soviet minefield wasn't so hot, but it had trip flares, and the Cuban army had machine guns. You tripped a flare, and they just opened up at night, boop, 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 and they just start strafing the area. Sometimes it was an animal, a deer would do that. But then if you heard that big explosion when somebody stepped on a mine, and you could hear the screaming, then you realize that was a person, family, more than likely. Crossing that no man's land because they wanted to be free. We need to be free, and we need to take, we think of it as a risk. It ain't a risk. God is with us. We'd be well able to cross over that no man's land. In 1 Peter 5, we better wrap it up here. Not 1 Peter, it's Ephesians 5. I like to just throw out other verses while I'm getting there, you know, process of elimination. I'll say the first one that comes to my head, then I'll pay attention to where I'm going. Kind of bracket it in, you know. Then I fire for effect. I know Chad would understand that. That's the way they do with artillery. They said, we'll fire one, shot out, then you look where it lands, and you tell them, fire for effect, you're on target. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. That's your artillery class today. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the light, is goodness, righteousness, truth, and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. It's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things are exposed are made manifest by the light, for water makes manifest as light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Remember, well, it's called today. Today, we can do this today. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See now that you walk circumspectly. Today, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Today. Because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Renew day by day. Day by day. We'll close with Romans chapter 13. It's kind of the same as what we just read. So you know what? When the scripture emphasizes something, I guess we need to pay attention. In Romans chapter 13, You know, the first and second great commandment, of course, is loving God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, but your neighbor is yourself, he says here in verse 9. So do this. Do this knowing the time, verse 11 says. That it's high time we wake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Today, and we need to encourage each other daily while it's called today, lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We've got to keep it current daily. You know, I mean, we can be in this life, you know, have our family time and family developing those, you know, raising the kids. We gotta, you know, gainful employment is also a gift from God. Marriage is a gift from God. Those are all good things. We're not saying you got to get rid of all that stuff. Sit around, read your Bible all day long. But this is the beauty of the way God designed the human. The human can take in the information. We do have the ability to store that in memory. If we delight in it, we will. Look, if people can sit around and memorize baseball scores or whatever, or other real important data pertaining to, you know, touchdowns and field goals attempted and made and earning, I don't know what, I don't know sports. If people can remember all that important information, I think they can remember the words of eternal life. We're made for it. And then you can take it with you. When you go to work and have to do your job, walk the dog, paint the fence, go grocery, whatever you got to do. That's all he says. But today, we need to make it the point today. We need to, I like how he tells this picture about it's time to wake up, get up, cast off the covers, the works of darkness, get dressed, put on the armor of light. You get this picture of getting out of bed and getting going and making the most out of the day, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and making no provision for the flesh to fulfill its desires. We're made for this, though. So while it's called today, God is cutting us some slack here. We don't have to take all the fret and the worry of what might happen. Let's just deal with today. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. Thanks for your attention this morning.